and welcome to another episode of Mr. Jeffrion's World History Podcast. Today we will be discussing Africa and the Atlantic world. If you have any questions or want any additional information, let my team and I know by submitting your questions to our Google Voice number 321-804-APWH or by emailing mrjeffrion@gmail.com. Like in most of the world, trade was a major influence in the growth and expansion of sub-Saharan Africa. As Europeans began to seek for new trading opportunities, they began to travel more and more to the coast of West Africa. The result of European trade would be a decrease in traditional trans-Saharan trade routes. The rise of major port cities and an increase in the shipment of slaves throughout the world. Something important to note, this movement of enslaved Africans would be the largest migration to occur prior to the 19th century. The Mali Empire, which was discussed in an earlier episode, was replaced by the Songhe Empire in the 15th century. The Songhe Empire would reach its golden age under the power of Emperor Sunni Ali, who ruled from 1464 to 1493. Under the power of Sunni Ali, the Songhe began to expand. The Songhe Empire had an elaborate administrative apparatus, an imperial navy, and a strong army. Following in the Mali tradition, the Songhe Empire was an Islamic kingdom. Timbuktu, a major city found in the Songhe Empire, would be a major center of Islamic learning. The collapse of the empire was from both internal and external problems. First of all, there were revolts by the subject peoples. These would lead to the Songhe Empire falling to the Moroccan army. Of course, the Moroccan army would be no match for the Songhe had it not been for the acquisition of guns from the Portuguese. The result of the fall of the Songhe was an end of African empire and a reversion back to a more local, tribal type of government in the Sudanic region. Like their brethren to the west, the Swahili city-states' interactions with Europeans would lead to their demise as well. Vasco da Gama from Portugal forced the ruler of Kilwa to pay tribute in the year 1502. The Portuguese then sent large naval fleets to all Swahili cities in 1505 to control the ports, and the Swahili states began to decline. In Central Africa, the Congo, which was a powerful kingdom after the 14th century, developed a diplomatic and commercial relationship with Portugal. See a theme? European culture would influence the Congo's thoughts and beliefs. For example, during the 16th century, King Zinga Bemba, aka King Alfonso I, converted to Christianity. Having close ties with Portugal would not exclude the Congo from the Portuguese slave raiders who were to come over the following century. In the southern region of Central Africa, we have the kingdom Dongo. Queen Zinga was in charge of Dongo. She dressed as a male king while being attended to by males dressed as females. Under the power of Queen Zinga, Dongo would fight a 40-year war against the Portuguese during the 17th century. However, her efforts and her successor efforts would not be enough. The Dongo would become Angola, the first European colony in Africa. Last but not least, southern Africa was dominated by regional kingdoms, including the Great Zimbabwe. The Dutch would establish Cape Town in 1652 after landing at the Cape of Good Hope. Cape Town would also become a trading post for the Dutch. By 1700, the amount of Dutch colonists in Cape Town would increase, causing many of the native people, the Khoikhoi, to move away. The Khoikhoi who remained were dominated by and lived under the control of the Dutch. As time goes on, South Africa would continue to grow under the control and power of Europeans. As stated before, diffusion of trade would lead to changes in traditional African culture. This can be seen in the case of Islam. Islam became popular in both the West African states and the Swahili city-states of East Africa. The large role Islam played in the Songhe Empire can be understood if we examine Timbuktu. Timbuktu was home to both an Islamic university and 180 religious schools. In some cultures, Islamic belief would be blended with traditional belief. However, some tribes didn't agree that Islam should be blended with traditional African beliefs. For example, the Fulani, who were a West African tribe, were concerned with the purity of Islam within these syncretic versions and therefore mounted military campaigns to establish a strict form of Islam. Christianity would also be followed in Africa. Places like Ethiopia had a long-established history with Christianity, while sub-Saharan Africa was introduced to the faith much later by Portuguese merchants. The spread of Christianity in Africa was also similar to the spread of Islam because it was also blended with traditional belief to create syncretic religions. An example of a syncretic religion involving Christianity and traditional African thought can be seen in Congo during the early 1700s. Dora Beatriz, a woman who lived in Congo and was a charismatic religious leader, believed that Jesus Christ was really a black African man and that Congo was the real Holy Land. Unfortunately, the Congo king, who was a Christian, did not believe Miss Beatrice, and she was burned to death in 1706 for heresy. The Antonian Movement is another instance in which Christianity can be found in the Congo. The Antonian Movement was a syncretic cult, which, in addition to following the teachings of Jesus, also worshipped Saint Anthony. Trade would not only introduce different religions to Africa, but it would also introduce new crops. Important crops that would be introduced to Africa came from the Americas after the 16th century. Some of these crops are manioc, maize, and peanuts. A common theme in AP World History is the introduction of new crops leads to an increase in population size. For example, in 1500, sub-Sahara Africa was home to 35 million people. In 1800, sub-Saharan Africa would be home to 60 million people. It is impossible to examine Africa at this time and not discuss the slave trade. African slaves were usually war captives, outcasts, or criminals. In Africa, slavery was common. The enslaved completed tasks such as cultivating the land or working as soldiers. Unlike Europe, in Africa, private property was not recognized. Therefore, someone's wealth was measured by the amount of slaves they held. Some slaves had the chance to receive freedom and join kinship groups, often by marrying into the family that owned them. Before the arrival of Europeans, African slaves were shipped out of Africa in what is known as the Islamic slave trade, which occurred between the 8th and 18th centuries. Once the Europeans arrived, they expanded on the existing slave trade networks. The Portuguese expanded the slave trade to the Atlantic Ocean in 1441. By the year 1460, there were a total of 500 slaves being shipped to Portugal and Spain yearly. When Europeans colonized the Americas, they also began shipping slaves there. And that is where we led to an explosion in the slave trade. Slaves were shipped to the Americas to work on sugar plantations after attempts to enslave the natives proved disastrous. The shipping of African slaves played a key role in triangular trade, which occurred between the Americas, Europe, and Africa. The triangle consisted of three parts. European manufactured goods, such as firearms, would be shipped to Africa. African slaves would be shipped to the Caribbean to work on sugar plantations, and America would send crops and raw materials to Europe. Each part of the slave trade was beneficial and profitable, mostly to Europe. The slave trade was a brutal and unpleasant process. First of all, rival tribes and later Europeans would go on raids to capture slaves. This was followed by the captured slave having to walk to the African coast to prepare for an upcoming journey. Then slaves would have to experience the Middle Passage. The Middle Passage was the journey enslaved Africans took across the Atlantic and consisted of traveling on a large ship, tightly packed with no more than 4 square feet of space to each individual. Between 25 and 50% of the slaves on the Middle Passage died. It is estimated that 12 million slaves were brought to America, while 4 million died en route. The slave trade benefited societies such as the Oyo and Asante and Dahomey financially, but it had additional negative effects. For example, societies would have large portions of women because young men would be sent and sold into slavery. Practices such as polygamy, which wasn't uncommon, became more common. Women would have to take on many of the political and economic roles traditionally held by men. The slave trade also created tensions resulting in intertribal warfare. Over in the Atlantic Islands, there were plantation societies where the cash crops that were introduced to the Caribbean were being harvested by slaves. Although Hispaniola was the first island used to produce cash crops, other places of production included Brazil and Mexico. Cash crops produced in the Caribbean include sugar, tobacco, rice, indigo, coffee, and cotton. About 100 slaves were supervised by a few white men, meaning the supervisors were highly outnumbered by the slaves. Due to the harsh conditions and labor that occurred on sugar plantations in particular, large number of slaves would die. This means that slave importation was a never-ending process. Although the white supervisors were largely outnumbered, slave revolts were rare. The only case of a slave revolt leading to the abolition of slavery would occur in Saint-Dominique in 1793. The slaves revolted against the French and established the Free State of Haiti. This is more commonly known as the Haitian Revolution. Although slaves tried their best to preserve their cultural traditions and languages, it became more and more difficult. Over time, the Creole language was created. The Creole language was the blending of several different African languages and the language of the slaveholders. Language was not the only thing that changed over time. The cultural beliefs also changed. African American Christianity was considered a syncretic practice. Sometimes faith was shown through ritual, drumming, magic, sorcery, and animal sacrifice. This blending of Christianity, traditional African beliefs, and Native American beliefs led to practices such as voodoo and Santeria. Other traditions brought over from Africa include weaving, pottery, and hybrid cuisine. Following the American and French revolutions, ideas began to spread of equality and freedom. People began to speak their voice through speeches and literature about why they thought slavery should be abolished. This can be seen in the narrative of Ulata Ekianu, who wrote a best-selling autobiography about slavery and becoming a free man. The ideas of freedom and equality would lead to more and more frequent slave revolts. These slave revolts would make slavery more expensive and dangerous. While the price for slaves increased, the value of sugar decreased during the late 18th century. By the early 19th century, most European countries abolished slavery. With the help of British naval squadrons, the slave trade was put to a complete stop. The abolition of slavery was a process. When slavery ended is a question of location. While the British colonies ended slavery in 1833, the French colonies ended slavery in 1848, the United States didn't end slavery until 1865 after the American Civil War. The last country to abolish slavery was Brazil in 1888. That's all for this week. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, this has been Mr. Jeffrey On's World History Podcast.